64-bit legends. 64-bit legends. Welcome.
Legend of the game like GoldenEye, I'm more than right. Yeah. The perfect dark is dreams that seem to come to light. 64-bit, the shit, it's as real as it gets. We can talk sports, games, and music, take your pick. Pick. With the news, pull up and crack a brew. Smoke one with the crew, tune in and take a view.
Watch.
We here to raise the bar from the lowest mark. Sit your ass down and listen, it's time for the show to start.
Ladies and gentlemen, can we please have quiet on the set? Please, quiet on the set. It's the next episode of the 64-Bit Legends. I am Bobby Caboose. As always, looking for that hot tag is Melvin Troy.
Tagging in like you wouldn't believe in a big, big, big way. Today, we came here on a mission.
On a mission.
We set out a goal. We achieved it. And I've got a document here.
Yep.
That's going to accomplish that goal. You All said right. we were going to watch something that was going to expose things in the past, and boy, do I have an expose.
Yeah, this is going to be a controversial episode.
It is, and I have this document here. I'm going to read from it first before we get any further.
All right.
Okay? Now, just bear with it because it's a little it may not make sense at first. But this is gonna really make so much of what we've done and what we're gonna talk about make sense.
All right,
I'm gonna tie it all together.
I'm in the dark too, so
I found this and I think that this prepared because ideally we're talking about the HBO documentary Quiet on the Set.
Yes,
as you alluded to. But before we get into that, I want to read this little paragraph.
All right.
Okay, just bear with me. So, it's a bit of a story,
right.
Kind of like the story we're about to talk about. It's going to explain so much from a youthful time.
Yep.
Days past.
I'm ready.
Okay. So, it's a story. It's setting a scene.
All right.
I want you to imagine the scene here.
Got my eyes closed. I'm picturing it.
Yeah, picture the scene. The first of two goats that walked into the sanctuary were named Charles and Kevin.
All right.
They both had long beards and a certain look about them.
All right.
Disheveled and strangely angular in their build, almost as if they were made to look like a Picasso painting.
Okay.
They walked in holding a satchel.
Okay.
You know what a satchel is?
Yes.
Okay. In the satchel was the precious light that was so desired in the sanctuary. 12 horses and 17 German bananas stood still as they opened the satchel with a bright glow filling the room. It was like they made a small nuclear explosion. Okay. The bananas ripened. Ripened. The bananas ripened.
Ripened.
The horses bucked and kicked, and the goats closed their satchel and walked back outside. Never to be seen from again, by the way.
All right.
The only thing that was left behind was a small glowing orb floating along the ceiling of the sanctuary. It bounced and bobbed along the ceiling with no one watching it until it flew into an open wardrobe where it would stay for 13 years. It stayed there until the day it was called upon to come out. And today is that day. Today's that day. And today marks the birth of Sir Jared of Swoveland, our savior during these tumultuous times.
Wait, what?
Yep. So,
did it really say Sir Jared?
Yeah, it did. Says.
And when was that document from?
Birth of Sir Jared of Swoveland.
When was that document from?
It said Microsoft Word document, last date modified, 6/24/2013 at 7:33 p.m.
What was that for?
Sir Jared.
I get
it's,
that.
It's
but
a story of Sir Jared.
Like, why was that written?
To tell a story. Where he came from. People wanted to know.
What, back in 2013?
Yeah, 11 years ago. People wanted to know what he was doing.
I'm so confused. I thought it was going to be a different character.
Really?
I thought it was going to be the birth of Vic Murphy.
No, that's a different story.
And then, like, I even thought it because you were, like, seven, like, you know, I thought, like, the goats or whatever were going to be, like, the Palumbos.
No, this is Sir Jared. Oh,
yeah. Well, that was a big disappointment. That was a big fart in the room.
What are you talking about? That's Sir... Doesn't it help make so much more sense now?
No, it doesn't at all. I don't know why this was written.
To tell the story of Sir Jared.
Yeah.
Sir Jared of the Smokelands.
That couldn't have been the intention.
People want to know where he's from and where he came from.
But this was way before a podcast, way before you streamed. Like, what was this from?
Sir Jared of the Smokelands.
Like, why did you write that?
Because... That was the birth.
You wrote it, right?
Yes.
Okay, why did you write it? What was the purpose of writing it at the time?
Because we were talking about Sir Jared.
Yeah, but you wrote it in 13.
Yeah, that was when we came up with Sir Jared.
Really?
That was when I came up with Sir Jared, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, I had a...
I didn't know it was that long.
I had a Tumblr blog called The Swovelins. Did I ever tell you about this?
I'm not sure. I knew we had, like, Born to be Borland.
Yeah, there's that one, too. But yeah. Then there's Sir... I was making a bunch of them. One called... Sir, that was the entry post. That was the only post that I ever made. I never expanded on it. But the whole idea was like to build out like this whole lore of Sir Jared. Which now with AI, I can actually have like drawings. I should go back to that and finish it.
Huh.
Because then I can make actual like drawings to go along with it.
Well, yeah.
Because I was imagining, you know, imagine Jared.
Yes, Sir Jared.
As a Sir Jared.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, I mean... I'm just, I didn't know about the Tumblr and stuff.
I thought I told you about that.
That's why I was confused. I'm like, were you starting to write a book and you just never got around to after the first paragraph?
Yeah. That was when I'd been living with you guys for probably a couple months at that point.
Okay.
And then.
That makes sense.
Right? 2013? Yeah, 2013. So yeah, it was, and I remember that came up and I was like, yeah, Sir Jared.
Huh. Interesting.
That was the birth of it.
Huh, all right.
That's what we... So I did I was telling you, I did the 12-hour stream yesterday, and yeah. I was going through all this. And I've really gone back to the well on a lot of things. Like, that, there's nothing... everything I've done is...
Classic Melvin.
These are not... A lot of this stuff is not new. I've been working on this stuff for a long time.
It's all come full circle.
Yeah, we just now have been able to put it together with modern technology over the last 4 years. So, you know...
It's just been in the archives.
It only took a decade to finally like come together.
And I hope we write something tonight and we can go over it in 12 years.
Well, that's the problem, honestly. Like, if anybody listens to this or anything else that I do, and you're like, yeah, you know, in the last year or so, the creative spark is a little dull. It's like, yeah, I tapped the well. There's no more left. I've done everything. It took me 10 years to come up with everything else.
Yeah. So
how am I going to... I can't keep.
So next year you'll be going through stuff from 2014 and then 2015. And then, you know, you just keep doing it that way.
Well, unfortunately, 2014 and 2015, I was kind of creatively dull. So everything kind of stopped around 2015 for a little bit. There might be some more. I got to go look. But yeah, that's
probably when we were unemployed.
Yeah, that's probably. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I still don't know the logistics of how we were both unemployed and we still came up with 2/3 of the rent.
You know, that is pretty crazy. Well, I know how I did it both stretches where I wasn't working. The first time I was only out of work. I wasn't out of work that long because I had left that job in like technically it was like late November, like right before or after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
But I was working under the table still. So I had a paycheck that came in up until then. And then I had just a bunch of savings because I never got unemployment. I got screwed on that.
Mm-hmm.
So I could have if I would have kept fighting for it, but they weren't going to give me much. Yeah. It was going to be like $100 a week or something. So I was like, it's not even worth it. And then...
because I had unemployment and I was working at that bakery for under the table.
Yeah.
And they were like fucking communists.
Yeah, so I ended up, I was only out of work until like March. I was probably out for like, I don't know, probably 3 months, December. Yeah, about 3 months. Because by March, I had a job. And then the last time was, I was out for 6 months at the other house.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I was getting paid out for like, I was just going through that again. I was getting paid out for like almost 3 months after that. And then I collected unemployment.
Yeah.
And then I had some side money coming in. So I didn't even miss a beat.
Yeah, my company went under.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah,
then,
yeah.
Yeah, I got unemployment and I got a severance and unemployment. And then I worked at the bakery, but I was out of employment until we moved into the next house.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember that. Yep. Yeah. I had just started working once we moved to the other house, which was in an attempt to get cheaper rent because we couldn't afford the rent anymore. Right. We were tapped out.
Right.
But yeah, that's, anyway, I just figured that would help tie all this together tonight.
Yeah.
That we're going
to
talk about.
Definitely did. I'm still waiting for you to tie it into what we're going to be talking about, but good luck.
Sir Jared.
Was he on the set?
No.
Oh, okay.
But he's his hero. And that's what that's what they need.
He's like Captain Planet.
Yes.
He takes pollution down to zero. Sir Jared takes breakfast down to zero.
He does. That's how he revs himself up. Like Popeye's got spinach. Sir Jared's got a powerful breakfast.
Yeah, and he wears plaid.
Yes.
And he's like the brownie man.
Like I'm imagining him in plaid with a big breakfast and like a huge sword, like a Conan the Barbarian sword.
He uses it to like chop his like sausage.
Yeah, that's how he chops the sausage links. That's how he does it.
Like, Jared, can I borrow your sword to chop my sausage? And then he just chops like everyone's down the table.
Yeah, but he doesn't chop
one swipe.
He doesn't chop them into like links. He chops them long ways, so they're like little sausage wedges. And the people are like, Jared, I can't eat it like this. This is stupid. Why did you cut it this way? And he's like, well, because I have a broadsword. That's what I can do. Why wouldn't I?
The people of the SWO eat the sausage a certain way.
They eat it long ways. They don't eat it short ways. They eat it long ways.
They deep throat that bitch.
No, so what we did do, though, we had the assignment. There's a documentary, Quiet on the Set, about the Nickelodeon work conditions from the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yep.
At Dan Schneider.
Yep.
Which I've done a stream before, probably about a year ago, about Dan Schneider and his foot obsession, but they don't really touch on that too much in this.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was
an interesting watch because I believe it should have been probably two episodes.
Yes, it was four episodes long, 45
minutes.
Within
the first 10 to 15 minutes, I wanted to turn it off.
Yeah, I was writing notes along with each episode. We'll go through, as we go through the episodes, I'll go through the notes. But episode one, there are some things I want to talk about, but then I got to a point where I just wrote waste, meaning waste of time, because I was like, what the fuck are these complaints?
Right.
Let's at least start. I think that maybe that's a good way to do it. It's like, why don't we start at the beginning and just talk about the complaints in order?
Okay.
And just see how they compare to each other throughout.
Okay. So the first complaint, I think, is with the two women that were writers.
Yes.
On the Amanda Show, right?
I think it was also All That, possibly. I can't remember exactly.
I thought they were strictly on the Amanda Show.
They might have been. Because that was Dan Schneider's big break.
Yeah. So Dan Schneider discovers Amanda Bynes.
Yeah.
Actually through kind of Katrina Johnson, it seemed like.
Yeah. So Katrina Johnson, All That. I remember her in All That. Interesting story. I kind of mentioned this earlier where I kind of felt for her a little bit, but it was nobody's really fault, I can say, where she was humorous. I remember her on that show back in the day. I thought she was funny as a kid.
Yeah.
And then she was told, like, hey, you got to lose weight because we already have a fat one.
Oh, yeah. Meaning Lori Beth Denberg.
Yeah. Which,
with vital information for your everyday life.
Yeah. Well, she's also got vital weight problems.
Yes.
And so she loses the weight, and then she also matures. And I remember as a kid seeing her on the show like a season or two later. She loses the weight. She also matures. I was like,
whoa.
Wow.
Yeah.
She's pretty attractive.
Yeah. Good looking chick, you know, for a person that age.
I was probably like 10 years old or 11 years old. I was like, oh, wow. All right. She's like fully developed. But then because of that, she was almost like aging out of
her
position.
You know, like you can't. I said this before, like it's hard for, especially like in that situation, to be attractive and funny at the same time. Like it doesn't really cross over because who was it? Dane Cook. Like,
Dane Cook's a great example,
You know, he's a good-looking dude, and I think that's how wasn't that his downfall? Because at first he blew up, but then he tried to repeat his success. Am I getting that right?
He wasn't a bad-looking guy, but he was like an average-looking dude. got successful. He also, you know, got himself in shape, got a little work done, I think. And then toward the end at his peak, he had like, hey, look at how good I look energy.
Right.
All the time. And I think that's what slowly eroded him outright. It wasn't strictly that, but I think subconsciously to people, they don't like that.
Yeah.
And I think that's the same problem. There's this comedian, Matt Rife. I don't know if you heard about this kid.
Yeah, I
super
have.
Attractive, you know. I think that's also because he's got a huge female audience. And I think, wisely went and kind of pissed them all off all at once so he could kind of get that over with.
Yeah.
And like, all right, let me just rebuild. Because now I'm just the hot guy.
Right.
And are you actually laughing at what I'm doing, or are you just infatuated with me?
Right.
So that's
like when your boss tells a joke, like for those women, like yeah. when your boss tells a joke, you're forced to laugh.
Yeah.
Like these women are forced to laugh because they think he's hot.
Yeah. And which honestly, to go back to what you're saying about the women writers in this scenario for Dan Schneider comes across in this thing is a kind of a piece of shit, but not in the way of, not to say that he's innocent and there's not some creepiness or something lurking underneath that. I'm not going to say that.
Yeah, because there's definitely creepiness. But the comparisons of him to some of these other people in this documentary
yeah.
is night and day. At least as of now. As of March 26, 2024. Yeah. And there's no sexual allegations against him. No criminal charges. Nothing like that.
Yeah.
You can't compare the two.
No, but he does come across like a giant, entitled man child, spoiled brat, miserable to work for, you know, all of that. You can definitely say all that. And so it starts off with, because we'll talk about Amanda Bynes here in a minute, because there's something deeper in there. Because, well, let's do this. So you mentioned Katrina Johnson.
Katrina Johnson she goes to the Laugh Factory or one of those comedy shows. Yeah. I think it was the Laugh Factory.
Yep.
And they specifically had a show for kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she brings Dan Schneider and she's like, you got to check out this Amanda Bynes. She's fucking hilarious, blah, blah, blah. In the documentary, Katrina Johnson even goes as far to almost tell the joke that Amanda Bynes is telling on stage.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Schneider instantly like falls in love with her. It was like, we got to get her on the show immediately because yeah. he can see the talent, right? So that all happens. Katrina Johnson then is on the show. I guess I don't know if we want to go into that right now.
What,
of how her she kind of got replaced by Amanda Bynes.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think she got replaced because she was aging out.
Right.
Essentially, like looks-wise. She
right.
was too much of an adult. And Amanda Bynes, I will say, I remember Amanda Bynes on All That. I watched All That as a kid.
Same.
When she came on, I remember they did do a thing. I remember hearing about how they found her. They probably did a whole segment, you mm-hmm. know, leading up to the season about the new cast members. And that she was found because she was doing stand-up comedy and was doing so well. And I thought in my head, I was like, she's a kid. Where do kids do stand-up comedy? It didn't make sense in my head. Well, if you're in Hollywood, it's probably easy. Not in Michigan. But she was very talented.
Yeah.
She was very fun. I remember All That. And I didn't really watch Amanda's show. My sister did. I've mm-hmm. seen parts of it. But she was very talented for kid humor.
Yes.
Like, there was definitely something there that she was able to parlay into a career off of Nickelodeon onto a WB at the time. It would be CW now, but WB sitcom.
Yeah.
And then she was in movies.
Yeah.
Nothing major, but she was getting into movies and then all of a sudden spazzed out. And now if you look at her, she's a fucking nut.
Right.
And...
Well, she, you know, not to jump too far ahead, too, yeah. but she also, in the documentary, it said she had to fight a conservatorship or whatever the fuck Britney Spears had to go through.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Her parents put the same shit on her.
Yeah.
So who knows, like, because they didn't talk about her parents much. Like, I know her dad was very involved with Dan Schneider and that.
Yeah.
But, like, who knows, like, that could have been their meal ticket, too, just another child star of, like...
Well,
these parents being fucking crazy.
Well, the important thing too is they tried to make allusions when they were talking about Amanda Bynes coming onto All That, and then Dan Schneider working with her, where there were these other lesser cast members that were telling their stories,
right,
about their whatever their grievances, which we'll touch on. But they would make these illusions that that she wouldn't be with the rest of them, and Dan Schneider would always be with her privately working on things. And while it kind of alludes to the idea like, oh, maybe there's some improprieties going on, but seeing how genuinely talented she was for a kid her age and seeing that he did bank his next level of success on her.
Yeah.
My gut tells me they probably were for the most part working on
like professional,
yeah,
like skits, what like characters. Cause, you know, like Dan Schneider, I feel like he saw Amanda Bynes as his meal ticket.
Yeah.
And you know, you have a bunch of, because this documentary also doesn't have Keenan.
No.
It doesn't have Cal.
It doesn't have anybody.
It doesn't have anyone that actually made it. It yeah. has these cast members that you never seen again.
Yeah.
That seem very bitter.
Mm-hmm.
And like the first kid that Leon, I think his name Leon or Leroy.
Which one was
Nose
he?
Man?
Oh, Nose Boy. Oh God, that
so
dude.
He,
fuck him.
He said he goes okay. He was 13 or something at the time. He's
That's
wearing
the first note I have is Nose Boy.
Yeah,
fucking
he's,
idiot.
He's wearing tights and he's like, yeah, I felt uncomfortable. I was playing this superhero. Name a superhero that doesn't wear tights.
Yeah, Super Dude. Fucking Keenan.
Yeah.
Super Dude. If you're gonna do a play on Superman. Or Kel, Repairman, man. If you're going to do... I don't think he wore
tights.
No, he
wore, like, overalls.
But still, the point is, you're going to dress the part.
Right.
So they just... And basically, Nose Boy or Nose Man or whatever, Nose Boy, is a play on that same recycled joke of,
right.
like... Except he's got a big nose. Now, I was thinking they were going to go with the thing of, it's a black kid and they're giving him a big nose. I thought they were going to say, like, oh, that was racist. And they didn't even do that. They were like... Oh,
his shoulders look like penises.
Yeah, if you look at the way the noses are made, I'm like, well, I'm sorry. That's the most common joke in the world is you draw what looks to be a penis to someone and then you make it into their eyes and nose and it's a face. And then you're like, oh, man, people in school used to do
right.
that all the time. So even if it was an allusion to a penis, it's not that deep.
Right.
It's not that
and
deep.
And then when the kid sneezes, because he's Nose Boy, right?
Yeah, that's
he
his, like
sneezes.
A tack or
yeah,
something. Yeah,
and the snot goes over the woman's face.
Which is all of what Nickelodeon was all about, gross green liquid.
Yes.
That was their thing. So snot-oriented things are going to make sense.
It's, you know, it's funny to a kid.
Mm-hmm.
A kid doesn't know what a fucking cum shot is. And
no,
if you do,
yeah.
you're probably a little too old to be watching all that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and we'll get to that because that's even later. With Jamie Lynn Spears and all that years later. But, yeah, Nose Boy. These are the notes I wrote down that I thought were important to touch on. You tell me if there's anything I missed. Nose Boy, as we just touched on.
Nose Boy can go fuck himself.
And when we talk about some of the stuff that happens later in this documentary, if I was the guy that played Nose Boy airing my grievances, I would have called the producers once I would have, like, seen the rough cut, and I'd be like, hey, can you just remove my thing? Because I look like a fucking bitch
yeah.
complaining about this. Amanda Bynes, which, so let me wrap up this thought on Amanda Bynes though, I had. So Dan Schneider builds his career on Amanda Bynes. She gets a network sitcom. He's very much involved in her life. I think there is some weirdness there. There's definitely some weirdness in her personal life because he did inject himself into her personal life a lot. And then he was kind of edged out of the show. Because the show that she was on was created by Dan Schneider and one of the guys, either the creator of Friends or the writer of Friends.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Friends is, you say what you want about Dan Schneider's success on Nickelodeon. Friends is a whole different ballpark.
It's no Boy Meets World, but people like Friends for
some reason. Well, we'll get into them too. They're not innocent. So, And so to hear that Dan Schneider was edged out by the Friends guy
right.
for this show, it's like, yeah, I bet Dan Schneider was pulling his fucking bullshit of being an insufferable prick to work with, and this guy's in the big leagues with network television and is like, yeah, get the fuck out of here,
yeah.
dude. And then he had to go be relegated back to Nickelodeon, and I'm sure that there was just some weirdness I definitely think there was probably weirdness toward the end with him and Amanda Bynes of some level, but they didn't go. They didn't dig deep into that at all. They just didn't want to touch it.
I don't think. Like, I could be wrong.
She's fucked up now.
Someone could fact check me. I don't know, but I don't think Amanda Bynes ever pursued criminal charges or anything towards Dan Schneider.
But something there's something wrong with her. Yeah, something happened to fuck her up.
Whether it was her parents, just being a child star, drugs, whatever, something Dan Schneider did, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, this was one of the examples of they explained. I wrote down Stephanie Taint, I think was the name.
No, it's Penelope Taint.
Penelope Taint, that's what it was. Penelope Taint. Penelope Taint. So they were saying about one of the writers was like, the character's named Penelope Taint, and then they had to explain the taint is the area between the balls and the asshole, and... And Dan told us not to tell anybody that that's what it was alluding to. And so he meant when the executives asked, doesn't that mean something dirty? He's like, no, it means tainted. Like, okay, he snuck a naughty word in.
Yeah.
It's taint. As a kid.
I didn't know what a taint was.
We didn't know what it was. And if you did know, you just thought it was silly. There's no way that's what they're referencing. Right. It's so... disconnected. She wasn't referencing being a taint. She didn't act like a fucking taint.
No.
She was just a fucking super fan. Yeah. That was her character in the show. Dan, and that's the thing though. Nickelodeon was supposed to be the edgier version of Disney.
Right.
So I'm not going to forgive, because there was some weird shit that was being put in these shows, but I think we're kind of, some of these scenarios were making mountains out of molehills.
Right.
Where that was Nickelodeon's branding. Hey, do you like Disney Channel? Great. We're the edgier version of that. So if they're going to do a kid show starring kids or a skit show like that, there's going to be these little snuck in adult jokes. And the thing is they're like, yeah, but these are kid actors doing it. This is a terrible... Dude, do you understand some of the movies that people seem to love that have kid actors doing heinous, horrific things? Or having things done to them.
Right.
But we don't complain about that because it's like, well, that's the job as an actor, and that just shows their ability as an actor to act. What's the difference?
Yeah.
What's the difference here? They're not being exploited. They're getting a paycheck. They're getting paid very well.
And the thing is, too, you can't have a kid's show or any show without an adult producer, director. Adult is going to produce this shit and write this shit.
Yeah.
And they're going to look bad no matter what if someone has a complaint because they're making, quote unquote, making kids do this stuff. You can't have a kid director. What I mean?
It's not going to happen. Or what we do is what? We do nothing edgy. Because again, Nickelodeon was supposed to be the edgier version. Think of the little adult humor people always talk about that are put in shows like SpongeBob and things like that.
Ren and Stimpy.
Even shows like that. And people look back at that and they're like, oh, there's always adult humor in it. Or even movies, even some of the more animated movies.
Shrek,
Toy Story. There's always these adult humor jokes that we overlook. And yes, it's aimed for kids, but the kids aren't going to get it. So we can't look at it as an adult and criticize it the same. But again, I'm not forgiving everything that Dan Schneider touched, and I'm not forgiving Dan Schneider of being a piece of shit, because I do think he's a piece of shit.
Right.
I'm just saying some of this stuff, some of these grievances, especially in episode one, as you said, is a complete waste of time. None of this needed to be aired.
Right. The two women writers specifically say in the first 10 or 15 minutes, first they were in a writer's room meeting with, I guess there was 6 to 8, male writers and the two women. And Dan Schneider asked everyone if they thought women were funny because he didn't.
Yeah.
To get offended by that and to not only get offended by that, but put it in a documentary for me to care about.
Yeah.
That's such a waste of time. Who gives a fuck? I don't think most women are funny. Well, sue me.
Well, and also to put that in the same documentary discussing pedophilia and rape. But that's your grievance.
Right.
As an adult, as a grown adult, by the way, working on these shows, not a child.
Yeah. By the way, that one lady looked like the biggest Karen in the absolutely. Fucking world.
Oh, because she made sure to have to pinpoint when I was fired, they hired a white man instead. I'm like, what does the race and gender have to do anything about it? You're trying to formulate a problem when there may not be one. Now, granted, Now, I will say this. I will say this. Again, I'm not going to forgive Dan Schneider entirely. I don't think that he went in a room and was just bellowing, I think women aren't funny. You should be ashamed of being a woman and trying to write. I'm not, because he probably was more of like, it was probably him trying to make a joke. It was probably a douchey thing to say.
Right.
He probably didn't, he's not a time and place guy, clearly. But I don't think it was meant to be just a strike to be just a straight misogynist. Also, they mention about their pay on how the two women
had to split a salary.
Had to split a salary. Now, which is technically was illegal.
Yep.
And then they went and, you know, and so here's what I know. Here's what I know about the entertainment business is that you're given a budget. So in this scenario, I'm looking at this. I'm like, okay, so Dan Schneider's running this project. He's got a budget, right? He can only hire so many different writers. And I'm sure he's also giving notes on the type of people he needs to hire.
Right.
Okay. And I'm not saying necessarily affirmative action. I don't know if that was really a thing in the 90s. I don't know. I don't know if that's a thing. I'm not even going to go there. But if he thinks that women aren't funny, he's hiring women and he doesn't really think much of them. And then he's forcing them to split a salary out of his butt. It means he doesn't see much worth in them. It sounds like he's having to hire them for whatever reason, not even as a diversity hire, but maybe they know someone that called in a favor. I mean, right. I don't know the whole story, but
see, I would think that he might have wanted them on the show because it's the Amanda show. She's a teen,
maybe
relate to a teen girl. You can write sort of for that,
but it was clear that he didn't value them because he's making them share a salary and, meaning, like, so if he was given, I don't know, 60,000, they both only get 30.
Right.
Which is illegal. But here's the thing. Here's the thing in the entertainment business. The entertainment business is a dirty business. If you're going into entertainment in any level, and Hollywood is a little bit more organized because there are unions.
Yep.
But even at that level, it is still a dirty, dirty business. If you think you're going to be going in there thinking it's going to be fun and sunshine and some good old-fashioned hard work, you're in for a surprise. It is dirty. It's fucking – everyone's a – most people that make it and are super successful genuinely have an element of being a piece of shit in them.
Yep. That's why they say that you don't want to meet your, like, heroes.
Yeah, you don't want to meet your heroes. You're always going to be disappointed. Like, that's the way it is. And they're always going to try to find ways – to get as much out of you for nothing. And so there's two things you can do in those scenarios. If you're trying to cut your teeth in the business, what you do is you work for next to nothing or for nothing in some cases, and then you do that until you're done. If you think like, hey, this will get me at least enough exposure, I can afford to do this, I'll put up with it to have something on my resume and not burn any bridges along the way. And then when you're done and you're just like, I can't do this shit no more, then you walk away.
Right.
As any self-respecting person would do. But you don't try to like fight your way into these people that think, and this is my issue when I was listening to them. These are people that are, instead of trying to make it in the business by navigating it, doing good work, doing hard work, and saying, hey, you know what? I'm working with someone that I just can't stand. I'm going to go find my own way around this, as most people in the world do. They're like, no, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go and fight this because technically, morally, I'm right to do so, but it's a fight you'll never win because right. The person in charge, you're just shitting all over them. Rightfully so, maybe. Again, Dan Schneider's kind of a shithead, but if you're going to make him look like shit and bring in like legal problems,
you're probably going to get a settlement and then you're not going to have a job.
Yeah.
So you got to take one or the other.
Yeah. So then you just go and say, hey, you know what? This guy's a piece of shit. I'm going to go find another job. And you say, well, I need to survive. Well, that's why the entertainment business is highly, highly, highly competitive. And most people, I actually heard Jon Stewart talking about this recently, that the most people that could even make it's so competitive that there are gate kept things where for the longest time, I guess in some industries it's changed a little bit, but that's why in entertainment, if you intern in broadcasting, it was always for free. The average Joe that needs to keep a roof over their heads cannot intern for free. It locks them out of being able to do that. Right. So then if you have to kind of come from money. And then if you look, most people that are in entertainment and broadcasting and everything come from money to some degree. That's part of the thing. And because you come from money, you put up with that shit. And it gives power to more of Dan Schneider's and these other assholes that try to play these games on you. So, again, he's a piece of shit for doing it. But listen, that's what, especially back then, that's what the industry was. And you just had to navigate it. And then to sit here 20 years later and say, I got a shitty salary for this job for a couple years. What I wrote down in here, I want to know, what are these people, especially the adults, what are they doing now? What was their next job?
Right.
What have they been doing for the last 20 years? Are you telling me that they were just run from the business and never had a job? Because I'll tell you, a couple of those ladies looked like they were very well dressed, very well done. Well, some Botox.
The one Karen was like, I worked at a temp agency.
Yeah. But I bet she didn't work there for very long.
Right.
Or forever.
And then she said she went back to the temp agency. And I'm like, okay.
Okay, she probably went back to the temp agency, which, hey, isn't that nice? So wait a minute. You left the job that you were so miserable at, and you ended up at another job that you just didn't like as much?
Right.
But at least you felt morally sound? I can't say I can feel too bad for you. Because, I mean, who are the other victims in this story? Oh, wait, that's right. Someone was raped. But no. We got to spend some time about this person who felt that they got a subpar salary.
Yeah. And had to, like, yell, I'm a slut or something, like, in the...
In some fucking writer's room where they're trying to be creative and make jokes, immature,
yes,
edgy jokes for children. Sometimes, hey, I don't know if you ever tried to write anything, but sometimes you have misses.
Yes.
They can't always be a win like the origin of the Swove. Side note, right. Dan Schneider, Amanda Bynes, before we move off this is the one last note I had on Amanda Bynes. So they mentioned that hot tub scene.
Yeah.
Where she's interviewing him in a hot tub. She's in like a bikini or whatever, and he's fully clothed.
Right.
Now his character on the show, they mentioned it before. It was like when he would insert himself in the show, he was the
producer.
The big shot producer with the big ego. You know, and he's an adult in the kids show. And I remember seeing him before.
Right.
And it was like, oh, yeah, we're not supposed to like adults. Mm-hmm. He's kind of this out-of-touch, douchey guy. And now I don't remember specifically, but I will say this. I was like, again, Dan Schneider, creepy in some elements and definitely an asshole for sure, 100%. He's no angel, absolutely. However, the hot tub thing, is where they're reaching too far. It's like, this is not the argument to have. Because the idea is, she's doing an interview with this celebrity or with this big shot producer. They're doing it in a hot tub and he is fully clothed. She's not on him. She's on the other side. And I was like, honestly, I mean, maybe the whole bit as a whole may not be that great. It may not have been the best idea. But if you're going to say, hey, we're going to do this bit where the host of the show is interviewing the big shot producer and he's just hanging out in his hot tub. I mean, the big shot producer sitting in a hot tub is kind of like a trope.
Right.
You know, the big studio mogul just sitting there like Scarface in a hot tub. That's the trope. But what's he doing? He's wearing cheesy sunglasses and a polo shirt, fully dressed. Why is he fully dressed in a hot? Oh, it's because he's in a hot tub with a minor. Wouldn't that kind of like, I don't know. I just don't think that's reaching. I'm not saying it's the best scenario, but it's the best version of that scenario you can get responsibly. You know what I'm saying?
They could have easily, because they had that scene of like Nicole Richie, I think it was, feeding them shrimp in the car. I think that was her.
I might have looked away when that was when they were doing that. I remember there was something about shrimp.
Yeah, so they could have definitely, if they wanted to do something very weird.
Oh yeah, like feeding them grapes or something. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And have them shirtless, like on a like a lounge chair.
Yeah,
or, you know, they could have did way worse. Like, and like you said, as a kid, and especially they even mentioned this in Nickelodeon in the documentary that Nickelodeon wanted to make the kids feel like they were in charge. They rarely showed parents. Mm-hmm. They, you know, kind of controlled the atmosphere and the environment. Again, on all that, you know, I remember them referring to Dan as like the producer and they were trying to make him
corny,
happy.
Out of touch producer.
And you know, he would yell at them and they would play tricks on him and stuff like that. What else are you going to do with that? You know, yeah, it might not have had to been in a hot tub, but
I agree,
not like she's sitting on his lap.
Right. Yeah, maybe the hot tub idea wasn't the best way to do it, but if you're saying if there's a version of, hey, the child host is going to interview the producer in a hot tub, him being fully clothed in a polo shirt, like a full on shirt, you know, with the giving the impression he's probably wearing khakis underneath, yeah. And the silliness of him sitting fully clothed in a hot tub is, and again, not touching each other. They're not, at least from the clips I've seen. Maybe there's more. Someone could be sitting there right now yelling like, "That's not the full clip." From what I saw,
well, if you think there was a fuller clip that something else happened, you would think they would show it.
Well, exactly. So if the scenario, if that scenario is worse than what I'm assuming it is, the producers of this documentary did a terrible job presenting that argument, and that's the theme throughout. They do a terrible job for most of these stories, except for like two. And of making us care.
Again, if you're watching this, if you're on the other end and this is on your TV screen, yeah. And you think that's inappropriate, that you're too old for the show, bro.
Yeah.
Like, it's for kids. Like, no kid is going to be like, oh, yeah, that guy's really creepy and sexually assaulting that girl in the hot tub.
Yes.
Yeah, so, no 9-year-old kid is going to say that.
No.
They're going to think it's funny because, like you said, it's a big shot producer, fully clothed, yeah. In a hot tub. It's like when you're at a barbecue and you push, like, your uncle into the pool when he's not, you know, doesn't have his bathing suit on.
Right.
Like, it's funny.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, yeah, who's in charge? Who's really, I kind of, again, maybe I've not seen the full thing, so I could be wrong. But my gut tells me it's a thing of like, oh, the host is interviewing the producer. He's supposed to be the big shot producer, but she's in the hot tub and he has to sit there fully clothed like a doofus.
Yes.
Like, that's kind of the other power dynamic there. But, okay, so let me just finish up because I got these notes in front of me. Episode 1 really is more focused on, they hint at Amanda Bynes, talk a little bit about Noseboy, and then talk about those stupid fucking writers. Fuck them. They're adults. Suck it up. Get another job. Episode 2 is about Amanda Bynes' WB show. We talked about that. Let's see. And after that, he goes back to doing another more seasons of All That.
Yep.
Dan Schneider goes back to All That. And I just wrote more over-dramatized grievances.
Yes.
Is what I have here. I want to talk about the funniest goddamn thing that I heard in the longest time. And I wish I would have still watched All That when this was on. The fucking character of Little Fetus.
Dude.
Little Fetus.
The rapping fetus.
Dude, that is so hilarious. I don't give a fuck. Don't you come to me and say like, no, that's inappropriate. Bro, it's a kid. Like, and he's not like a disgusting, they didn't put like placenta on him.
Right.
He's just in like a little,
like a brown cat suit almost.
Yeah.
Like tights.
And he's supposed to be a baby and they call him Little Fetus. Bro, now, if it was Adult Swim, yeah, you get like a legit fetus on the ground with like the sloppy placenta sounds, you know.
The
you could imagine
cord.
It. Yeah, you'd get all that. But this is not that. This is just some kid
laying on the ground.
Yeah, rapping as a fetus in the womb. Like, that is, I'm sorry, that's funny. I can't help it.
But, so, the same kid, right?
Yeah.
They had some grievance that he was, what was it, breakfast cereal? Girl Scout cookies.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And his mom was like, oh, you know, it looks like he's selling drugs. No, it looks like you stole a bunch of Girl Scout cookies and you're playing off like you're a Girl Scout and trying to sell them.
Yeah.
Like in the kind of like black market.
Dude, between that dude and his mom, I'm like, no wonder you got let go because it looked like you guys bitched about everything. And again. I'm not saying the work conditions were phenomenal. Okay, I understand. And in some of these cases, the work conditions were absolutely horrific. But to compare, to butt that up against...
child rape.
Yes. How that episode ends. to begin with that, and to put that is equal level of importance to build this case against Dan Schneider and all these people around him is disgusting. If I was it Little Fetus Kid that was doing the Girl Scout cookie thing, or
yeah.
was it
okay? Yeah, because he his mom complained because she's like, oh, you have to have a black kid portray a drug dealer.
Yeah. Oh yeah, because he also was like, yeah, and they said yeah, he's gonna be Little Fetus. And he needs to have a bodysuit and make it charcoal colored. And the makeup artist who had to do the makeup on me just shook their head. It was like, I can't believe we're doing this. I'm like, bro, what color do you need it to be? Like purple? Right. You're a black kid. I don't know. Like, it's got to match your skin yes. tone. Like, you got to, I'm sorry. He can't, what are you going to do? Make you white?
Right.
Would that be better? Would you make you Asian? Would you, what's the complaint here?
And for the fact that
what are you doing?
That dude specifically, he's been in like therapy because of his confidence after getting let go of the show.
Yeah.
Bro.
Yeah, I mean, you must be really suffering to be able to afford therapy. You know how much therapy costs?
Right.
It's not cheap.
Go to a normal school.
I can't afford it.
Go to a normal school. You know, ask a kid that got cut from the basketball team. See if his confidence is high after that. Like, yeah. Come on, man. And you're doing something like, if you want to make a basketball team. I remember trying out for basketball in seventh grade. There was 120 kids that tried out.
Mm-hmm.
There was 12 kids that made it. I was one of the 12, right? So what is that? 10%? Not even?
Yeah.
10% of the kids make it. Less percent makes it to Hollywood.
Oh, yeah.
You actually made it. You made money, yet you have to go to therapy for your confidence.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, that's
fetus.
That's definitely privilege right there.
With your fucking Lawrence Taylor fucking earring. You hate the fucking cross dangling.
Yeah, I said, yeah, skin suit being charcoal is a problem, ? Would it be better purple? That's literally what I wrote. Dan sounds like a dick. Don't work for him. That was my note that I gather. I was like, hey, he sounds like a dick. I wouldn't want to work for that guy. I want to know where. Oh, I wrote this down. Yeah, I want to know where some of these people. What some of these people are doing now. I want to know what Little Fetus Kid is. What did he go on to do?
Right.
He's a grown adult. You're paying the mortgage somehow. Now, you know who I feel bad for, and I'm surprised that he didn't get anybody to say this. I seen a TikTok. I don't know if they're still doing it. Danny Tamborelli.
Yeah.
Lori Beth Denberg.
Okay.
I don't know if they still do, but at one point in time, they've been living together as of like a year or two ago. Not dating, but they're just rooming together
right.
to save money because they're not bringing any money.
Right.
And so Danny Tamborelli started an account on TikTok, and I don't know if they did a podcast or something, to try to like make it. And it's funny that those people who are probably about our age and they're having to live together to survive.
Right.
They didn't want to get a quick paycheck to be in a documentary to air their grievances?
Right.
They not have any grievances? Like, that's what I mean. I'm not saying that there aren't grievances, though. I'm not saying that there aren't. Dude, don't get me wrong. I'm going to keep prefacing that because I don't want to be, like, taken out of context and say, like, oh, you're a Schneider defender. Like, no, I'm not a Schneider. The only Schneider defender is Rob Schneider. I'll defend him.
There's... Which Rob Schneider?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So,
the animal.
But the thing is,
the carrot.
The hot chick?
Yeah.
Stapler. But there's been people coming out defending Dan Schneider that have been on these shows, too.
Oh, well, yeah, kind. Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, that's.
So, but.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Regardless. But what we're basically doing is trying to compare these grievances to child rape, and it's no comparison. And that's what this whole documentary is doing. That was my whole thing. Like, when I watched this thing, within the first 10 or 15 minutes, I wanted to turn it off because I'm like, I'm gonna hear these two women bitch about what they were getting paid and yelling, I'm a slut, and you know, they don't think women are funny. And then Noah's Boy, and then Little Fetus. I'm like, dude, this shit, like, where is. We've all had asshole bosses in our lifetime. Like, where is the difference? Like, this is, it's a little, you know, on a bigger scale because you're in Hollywood. And yeah, it sounds like Dan Schneider was a tyrant and fucking they compared him to like a hurricane or some shit when he would storm through. And,
yeah.
And he might have been bipolar or some shit because they're like, you know, one minute he's nice, the other minute he's going fucking crazy. But goddamn, like we've all had fucking shitty ass bosses that. You know, okay, well, we can't talk to fucking so-and-so today because, you know, his coffee was cold. Like,
yeah,
the fuck? And, you know, I told you before we went on air, like, when I was watching this, I was like, you know, what's the difference between, like, Dan Schneider and, like, Jim Carrey?
Cause, like, yeah, he's a fucking asshole, too. Like, yeah.
You've seen the
miserable.
You've seen the documentary, like, the Man in the Moon thing. Like, he wouldn't come out of character. And, like, Jerry the King Lawler was like, dude, I can't stand that guy. Like, he was such a fucking asshole to work for. But then when the movie is great, everyone's like,
yeah, I'm glad we put up with it. We got this thing done. Now on to the next job.
Yes.
Like if that's and that's unfortunately, that's the entertainment business. If you want to make if you're trying to get in there and try to if you're trying to make it. You're going to come across those people. And the real trick is keep your mouth shut, deal with it. And then just move on to the next one and say, I will never work with that person ever again next time. I'm going to remember this, but I got paid. And people will look at it and be like, oh, you worked with so-and-so? You survived that? Like,
right. Reputation's good around.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, without going into specifics, I worked on the smallest of scales of this. And that applies.
Right.
Like, you get to the Hollywood level. Fuck, man. There's all kinds of crazy fucking assholes out there. Jason Handy. He was the first pedophile. The fucking guy. Now, this is where, and I literally wrote, this is the real story.
Yep.
So the girl wants to be on TV. She gets to be like a background person.
She's an extra in a classroom scene.
Yep.
And this guy starts building a relationship with her, being very friendly. Like,
and the other actors mentioned that he was also always hanging out with them as well.
Yes, yes. And, you know, one day, I don't know if I'm jumping ahead of stuff because you watched it more recent than I, but one day, you know, they're emailing back and forth. He's telling her about projects he's working on. Maybe he can get her on this show, that show, whatever. And all of a sudden, he emails her a picture of him fully nude.
He was jerking off.
Oh, jerking off, yeah.
Yeah, he emails a picture to her of him jerking off, and she's absolutely shook.
Yeah.
And then her mom...
And she's, what, 9 or 10 at the time? Or
maybe
she
a little older, but little older? Still way too young to be getting that. And, and which is crazy to me. He also... One of the other actresses there, I think one of the All That people said, like, when they worked with him... He would say, you're why I work for free half the week. So he seems to be another one of these low-level guys that's just putting up with it for to be in the industry and for, well, his perceived benefits, you know, to be around children.
But what I got out of that, too, is the mom. Dude, she doesn't say anything. The daughter tells her, you know, what happened because she's like...
That's right. The cops have to contact her.
Yeah. And she goes, she said, I didn't want to contact the police because I didn't want to mess anything up and all this shit. Like, you are a piece of shit parent.
That's right.
Like, I don't have any kids. But if someone sent that shit to my daughter, I'd be on the phone. You have evidence.
Yeah.
You have proof. Like, it's not he said, she said shit. Like, you have absolute proof that this dude was jerking off and sent that to your daughter, and you do nothing about it.
Yeah.
You're a fucking terrible parent. And I'm sure that's probably had some reason why that girl wasn't on this documentary.
Yeah, but the mother. Yeah, the mother was. The mother was probably like, yeah, I'll tell the story. Yeah, I didn't even pick up on that until it was, he later got busted for child porn, and then they found a bunch of trophies that he collected from girls. And that's like, wait a minute, how did he get these trophies? Like,
right.
What is the jerk-off picture the whole story? Now you're making me think that there might be more to that story, and this mother just kept her mouth shut?
Yeah.
For what, the possible paycheck?
Right.
Like, that's disgusting. And then it moves on to...
Because, when the police call her, they're like, what was the guy's name? Ryan Hanley?
Jason Handy.
Jason Handy. they say, you know, have you heard of this? And she's like, oh, I know all about him. And like, okay. My next question would be like, why didn't you contact us?
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. Like that would be insane. I was getting mad hearing about it. But I think it's because that I heard that part of the story. And then they started talking about Brian Peck. And I wrote here, Brian Peck is also the story. And hashtag pedo number two.
Yeah.
And so because that was so crazy is like he would have parties at his house. The one child actor was talking about how he had like, which I got to pause for a sec. So they're describing his house before they talk about Brian Peck's crimes. Before I fully even know Brian Peck's crimes, I know something's happening. I'm like, something's up. They're setting up for something with this guy.
Right.
And he looks odd. But then the kid describes, well, he's an adult now, but when the actor was a kid, talks about the big party that all these other actors were invited to for something at Brian's house. And, you know, he's like, yeah, he's got this room full of like old vintage toys he collects. And then he's got this other room that's designated. It's like a shrine to Planet of the Apes.
Yep.
And I thought to myself, I'm like, you know, I'm a 37-year-old man. I have a collection of retro video games.
I'm starting to feel real uncomfortable here.
My studio here has a bunch of Sonic the Hedgehog and other video game kind of memorabilia in it. I'm like, that's not a sign. That's not a sign. I have no interest. In fact, if you're my rule has always been, if you're under the age of 25, fuck off. Get the fuck away from me. I don't want anything to do with you. If you're under 25,
you're not an adult.
No, get the fuck away from me. You're a retard. Get out of here. I don't want nothing to do with you. But and as I get older, I think I'm going to bump it up to about 29.
I'm a little scared in here.
No.
If I see some John Wayne Gacy autographed shit.
Well, that's the other thing that he was in. He was a pen pal. Not that he bought the painting like from an auction as a weird collector's item, but he was a pen pal enough where John Wayne Gacy sent him a self-portrait he painted in prison.
Yep.
Like, bro, if that's the real sign. That's the real sign, the collectibles.
And you know who else does that? Huh. Crazy fucking women.
Yes, they do.
With the serial killers.
Yeah, they do.
Like, psychotic women do that.
Yes.
Like, huge red flag. Like, I don't know how anyone that went to that house and saw that. Because they said that he took like a lot of pride in that too.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
This is, you know, we're pen pals. Like, all,
yeah, he was
like,
showing the parents. He was showing like everybody.
I'd be like, can I leave? Like, that's not like, that's. I'm trying to think. The dude, what was his name? Ryan Murphy that did Dahmer.
Yeah.
It's not like you're getting a signed autograph from him who played somebody.
Yeah.
You're getting it directly from the dude that killed fucking, 20 boys?
Something like that. It was a lot.
And buried them and
molested them, like, raped them, all that. Yeah. Yeah. And so then they introduced to Brian Peck. Then you drop that bombshell like, oh, Brian Peck, there's something up with him. And then they talk about that same thing as like all of these adults gather all the kids in the room at on the set of either Amanda's show or All That or one of these shows. Probably All That. It was after Amanda. I was like, hey, we're just going to let you know that Brian's no longer going to be here. They just tell the kids, not even the parents.
No.
Hey, there was a sexual assault with a child involved and he'll no longer be working here. And then they were shocked. Yeah, they were shocked. And then they're like, well, who could it be? And then like a fucking, as if Vince McMahon produced this, Drake Bell enters the scene. Yeah, like a Stone Cold entrance just walks in like, oh, man, it was him. Which I will say, I did not know. I mean, I knew before watching this, but yeah, I never knew that Drake, Josh.
I mean, he said this was the first time he said it publicly.
Yeah, because,
you know,
and since he was a minor, the court documents didn't have his name in it.
Right.
You know,
John Doe.
Yeah, he was just a John Doe. And then as soon as that happened, I'm like, that's when it hit me. I was like, everybody else that's been in this documentary so far If they, I blame the producers. I can't blame Little Fetus and Noseboy and Katrina, whatever.
Johnson.
Katrina Johnson. I can't exactly blame them. They were probably reached out to. They were probably the only people that responded about air your grievances. But if I would have known, if I would have been one of them and I would have known, like, oh, yeah, who else do you got? Oh, we got Drake Bell. What's Drake Bell going to do? Well, he's actually going to talk about how Brian Peck, like, sodomized him and abused him over and over and over again. I'd be like, yeah, can you just take out my complaints about Noseboy? Because I think that that doesn't really,
yeah,
that doesn't really compare. I don't really think that I should be in the same conversation as, oh, about how children are mistreated. Yeah, I had to be Noseboy, and the nose kind of looked like a penis on my shoulder. Oh, and Drake, yeah, he was forcibly sodomized over and over again, and with as the court documents showed, like, items were forced inside of him, and he was hounded and harassed by this guy. This guy it got himself into his life to drive a wedge between him and his father. And yeah, you know, I don't think I really have any more complaints about being a Little Fetus. Can we just, like, take that out?
Or, you know, can you make, like, a second documentary with ours? Like, you can use his and, like, have it, like, we'll just be, like, the, you know, the sequel, but, like, we'll just air our grievances in a whole different documentary.
Yeah, yeah. Can we just make a different thing? Can we actually separate this and just do a Brian Peck documentary, and then we can just do a Dan Schneider thing later?
Yeah.
And, yeah, because the Brian, that, talk about,
well, like, him blowing up his phone and his girlfriend's phone, and then, like, for the girlfriend's mom to, like, realize it, like, within, he said like 6 seconds.
So here's the thing. I'm glad you said that, because when I got to that part, I was literally enraged. I was so angry. I mean, I was already kind of angry and disgusted by this Brian Peck pedophile, which, by the way, I think there needs to be a term for pedophiles, and it should be strictly for them, because I think it's an appropriate term, and it will allow us to recycle a word that has been misused for a long time. And I think if we could just create a slur for pedophiles, maybe that begin with the word F, and just strictly use it only for them.
I dig that. I knew that's where you were
because
going.
Because that's all I wanted to do is just... Because I think that type of using a slur towards somebody and saying it in anger needs to be directed to someone like that and not, you know, the other typical...
And the thing is, too, man, like, is, like, I would never defend that piece of shit.
Yeah.
But, dude... If you're going to get caught, you're going to get caught like that, man. Like, fucking blowing up this dude's phone. Like he said, he's like, my girlfriend's mom was like, why is a 47-year-old man? I think that was the age.
40, yeah, about 40-something, yeah.
And why is he blowing up a 15-year-old's phone like that?
Calling, like, the house phone, too, which is pretty bold.
Because you want to go to fucking Disneyland? Yeah. You fucking weirdo?
Well, and so here's the thing. The girlfriend's mom knew it right away. So, step back. The father knew that this dude was a problem. The father knew, to the point where this dude wedged himself in to Drake's life, talked him into, like, getting his father out of the
be his manager.
His father didn't do anything wrong to him. The mother then steps in and then basically hands all the responsibility over to this Brian Peck guy.
And the father told the fucking mother, like, yes, look, I don't need to be the manager. Just keep him away from Brian Peck.
And it's like, how does the mother not know? Like, I am so, like, and I understand probably why Drake's mom wasn't in this thing, because
meal ticket, dude. It makes her look terrible.
Dude, that is utterly disgusting that she wasn't able to see this, but a stranger within a day noticed, not even meeting the guy in person.
Right.
Just seeing the behavior. Like, holy shit. And if I was Drake, I would be, I mean, but you know what? He never brings it up.
Right.
So I'm sure that there's probably a problem there.
Yeah. He said he dealt with, like, drugs and stuff to try to, cover it up. But yeah, that's fucked up.
To, like, the point that the father, and then when he told his father that Brian finally got caught and he couldn't even tell him that it was because of him.
Yeah.
Like, that,
like,
was
how emotional the father got, and like, he was, and he was okay with stepping aside for being the manager. He was like, if that's what Drake wants, like, That's all good, but just keep him away from this fuck.
That story was so gut-wrenching. And then, there really isn't much else to say on that. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. Other than the fact that the other piece that got me upset was when Drake was explaining about when he went to court for the sentencing.
Mm-hmm.
Because that guy only got 16 months for repeatedly raping this kid. And it was because of people like Alan Thicke, Ryder Strong,
Will Friedle.
Will Friedle from Boy Meets World. I always knew there was something up with those guys. That's why I hated that show.
Look, great show.
No, it's not.
A great decision.
Not great. It eroded it forever. I'll never look
Joanna,
at
them again. Joanna, I forget her last name. She was the mom on Growing Pains.
Oh, my God.
And she wrote a letter later saying, like, if I would have knew this stuff. But, yeah, obviously these people did not know the severity of
what was
going on.
But here's the thing. If someone comes to me and they're like, hey, man, can you write me a letter of recommendation because I got myself into trouble and can you send this to the judge? My first question is, what did you do?
Right.
And then I'm going to be I'm knowledgeable enough as an adult to know if you got yourself convicted, there must be a good amount of proof. And I'd be like, can you tell me what the details of the... Like, I would want to fucking know. And here's something that they do say that I want to point out is all of these other people and celebrities and whatnot wrote producers and this stuff in defense of Brian Peck. Dan Schneider did not.
Yes, he did not.
And when it came out, and this is something, and I'm not saying Dan Schneider's not a piece of shit. I'm not going to say that. But... When Drake says this, it starts to erode all of these minor grievances that these people have about Dan Schneider. Not to say that he's 100% innocent. I know that there's some evil lurking there somewhere. They just did not do a good job explaining it.
He likes his massages.
Yeah. When Drake says Dan Schneider was the only person to reach out to him and say, whatever we got to do to like basically help, you let me know.
Well,
like that is... Man, did they fumbled this documentary. Yeah. Outside of that story, they fumbled the fuck out of this documentary. Right. It was so I took all my anger I had for that fucking piece of shit Brian Peck, and then because once we get in and we'll get into it in a minute, the next stories of nonsense, I was like, fuck you. Yeah. Don't fucking tell me this story and then complain about Ariana Grande squeezing a potato. Fuck you. You're insulting my intelligence now.
So Drake had said, he got a phone call from Dan Schneider.
Yeah.
And he was like, this is about you, isn't it?
That's what he said.
And Drake was like, yep. And he's like, all right. He's like, we don't have to talk about it. He's like, if you need someone to talk about it, I'm here.
Yeah.
But we'll just... act like it didn't happen, but I won't tell anyone type, like, so it doesn't embarrass the child, doesn't embarrass Drake,
right?
But he was a voice of reason. He was someone there to be supportive.
And then
it goes into the next episode and you got, oh, it looked like he came through like a tornado and, he was mean to me. Like, get the fuck out of here, dude. All these motherfuckers were almost a witness to this thing of Brian Peck, like, being so attached to Drake.
Yeah.
And no one did a goddamn thing. His dad tried to do something. Dan Schneider was there for his support. And all these other fuckers are like, it was a hard day at the office today because Dan Schneider called me an idiot.
Yeah.
I'm like, get the fuck out of here.
And again, I'm not saying that Dan Schneider's innocent. I know that there's some sinisterness lurking probably in there. But I'm not saying this in defense of Dan Schneider. I'm not championing him. I'm angry at the people who did this documentary because it felt lazy.
Yeah.
Truly, that's really what it felt like. It felt outside of getting. It was almost like they got Drake to tell his story, and they're like, "Oh, okay, this is a wrap. We're done. We got to fluff this up for a couple episodes." Like, bro, this is it was.
Or it was like Drake was the last person that they interviewed, and they're like, "Fuck,
yeah."
Now we got to keep this other shit because
we got to build a show around this. Now, and because here's the thing, Drake is not, you know, was bankrupt, and he's kind of fell on hard times because he got. I looked it up too after this, but they mentioned it in the documentary that he got himself into some trouble, drugs, alcohol, and then eventually he pled guilty. Yeah, he pled guilty to something about basically he got in trouble for texting a minor. But the story is, and I looked this up, basically his story is that he took the charge because it was a small charge. He didn't even do any jail time. He paid a fine, had a couple months probation. That was it. But the story is that he was texting this girl, come to find out she's a minor, and then he stopped texting her. Now, that's not to say that it's acceptable because from what I understand, he thought she was 18. Now, dude, this was like a couple years ago. He's like our age.
Yeah.
Like I said, if you're younger than 25, you can fuck right off. You shouldn't really be messing with anybody younger than that, you know, at this age.
Right.
Once you hit like 30-some. So I'm not saying that he's a real winner, but he isn't – he's not like – and because I remember when that came out about a year or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
People were kind of labeling him like he was some sort of like
pedo.
Yeah. And then now people are turning the tide on that. And this gets me to something that we'll probably talk about in another episode is Josh from Drake and Josh.
Mm-hmm.
Josh from Drake and Josh rebuilt his career. He got himself with this David Dobrik, who was kind of like a Logan Paul type on YouTube.
Right.
He was doing the vlog stuff and everything. Rebuilt his career as an influencer. And then there's these interviews where Josh, especially after Drake got himself in trouble, where Josh is like trying to sound like he's a real tough guy and shitting on Drake and everything. And now, and I showed you the TikTok earlier, where now all these people are shitting on Josh for not being there for Drake. And Drake had to make like a little TikTok to be like, hey, can you take it easy on him?
Right.
But at the end of that TikTok, you can tell Drake's kind of enjoying it.
He's got a smirk on his face.
He's kind of enjoying to be like, okay, now you got your comeuppance.
It is a weird coincidence that both of her last names Peck. That's what
Josh Peck, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, are they related? But they're not.
But yeah, anyway, I just thought that was just a little extra, but because that's the real story. Because honestly, the episode after episode 4, complete fucking garbage.
Yeah,
you
it was.
Just toss it's that.
About,
I don't care.
It's about. The documentary is about 3 hours long if you watch it consecutively.
Yeah.
There's about 45 minutes of good shit in there. Not good. I don't mean it like good shit.
Like
entertaining.
Riveting.
Like,
yeah.
The story.
Engaging, yeah.
You know, the rest of it is, you know, a bunch of fluff. They probably signed a deal for a 4 episode thing, and then they're like, well, fuck, we got to fill this.
Well, that's the problem with a lot of these. It's like they want to make this like a mini series all the time, and it really doesn't need to be. Like, there was. I had the same complaints on the Dahmer show. Like, I felt that there was episodes I started fast-forwarding. The what was it? The deaf? Was
yeah,
it
the deaf guy?
I fast-forwarded through that episode. I was like, what does this have to do with anything about the story that we're doing?
Because that one, I think it, like, humanizes Dahmer a little bit because I think he actually had somewhat of a relationship with that guy.
Yeah, you know.
So it kind of makes him look like a...
So I remember watching that episode, and I fast forward until Dahmer showed up. But there was a whole lead up beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
I skipped through about 20 minutes of it because it did not contribute to the story. It didn't matter.
Right.
And then toward the end, there was all like this after effects of like the neighbor and everything. And I just kept fast forwarding. I was like, I don't care about the neighbor.
Yeah.
I don't care about the neighbor. I'm sorry. I want to know about the crimes. I want to know about what the crimes he committed. I want to know how people kind of handled it legal wise and everything. But I don't care about like. You rehashing it and working through your... I don't care about... I'm not watching it for the neighbor. I'm watching it to understand Dahmer.
But they kind of had to show the neighbor, at least, show the effect on the neighbor. The effect on the neighborhood.
It just went on too long.
Right. You know, I get it. Because they do show, like, the whole, like, apartment complex outside when they're taking all the barrels out.
Oh,
you,
right,
so,
right, right.
Like, you know, some people would want to see, like, at least a little bit of, like, their point of view on that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, going into episode 4 of Quiet on the Set, they start talking about, like, the Ariana Grande shit. And,
yeah.
Again,
There's some odd stuff.
Weird, cringy stuff.
Yeah.
But
if the foot stuff is kind of gross.
But if you think it's weird and cringy, you're too old for it. Like, again, I'm not defending it, and I think it is fucking weird. But I was talking to somebody the other day about this. Like, people that watch those shows, like iCarly, Victorious, or whatever the fuck, all that, Amanda Show, these are made for, like, 8 to 12-year-olds.
Yeah.
Once you hit 13 and start getting these sexual jokes, the show's not for you anymore.
Well, and also think of this, too. Like, and this also stood out to me because they're talking about how they're being like, this is inappropriate. This is so inappropriate. And I'm like, motherfucker, the era that you're talking about, the early 2000s, about how there's this inappropriateness, that was during a time, if you can remember, this was during a time, like, little after, like, 9/11, there was, like, a very, like, religious comeback, if you remember.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, like, a whole religious right-wing movement. That's how Bush won. Part of why Bush won back then. And if there was something truly, again, I'm not saying that it's great. There's definitely some weirdness in there. But if it was truly as awful as you're saying, don't you think someone like Bill O'Reilly would have jumped all over that to say how Nickelodeon's corrupting children?
Right.
Like, that's what they used to do. That's what they used to do specials about how, I remember Bill O'Reilly specifically did like
Ludacris with Pepsi.
Yeah, exactly.
He got Ludacris kicked off of Pepsi because of his lyrics.
Right. Shit like that. Like, those people like that were super conservative, super, like, always bitching about how children are being hurt, video games are bad. You're telling me they wouldn't have jumped on this if that was so bad? Like, and that was another thing. There was a point in which, and I can't remember who said it because I started tuning out, but it was toward the end when they were talking about, like, shows like Victorious and stuff, and there was, like, these girls in bikinis, and this woman was like, you know, it's like, not that there's anything wrong with girls, you know, being in bikinis. I mean, they should be able to wear what they need to do, but there's just something about, you know, using that to draw attention in. And I'm like, dude, you can't have it both ways. It's right. Like, do you want them? Do I feel comfortable watching teen girls in bikinis? Absolutely not. That is, like, I would say. But if it's a show aimed for kids with them at a beach or something, I mean, I don't know. Put them in what you feel is appropriate. If that's what's appropriate for a child, listen, if I had it my way, if I took a child to the beach, I'm putting them in a hoodie and corduroy pants. That's it. They don't get to see their skin doesn't get to see the sunlight. I don't want anybody oogling a child.
But the thing is, too, is that one chick, I think it was on one of those shows, the later shows.
Yeah.
She was like, well, you know, I was like, she didn't say these words, but she alluded to it, that she was like the sex symbol on the show because all the guys liked her. And she's like, I had to wear these little skirts and all this stuff. Watching this for the second time with my girlfriend, and she's like, that was the fashion back then.
Yes.
Like,
oh yeah.
Like, what are you talking about? And like, you see it in Mean Girls. I mean, that's around the same time. They're wearing pink. They're wearing skirts. They're like,
I remember I was 18 years old. I was working at Hollister. That's how the girls dressed.
Yeah.
They would have the low rise jeans or low rise, skirt jean skirts that were basically just like they were basic, barely underwear,
right?
You know, and
they would wear like those what now are like similar to like golf skirts.
Yeah, that was the thing, and you know,
and the chick specifically, she's like, oh, I would, you know, that wasn't my style, and I wouldn't wear stuff like that. Well, guess what, lady, you're an actor, so you're gonna act like you wear this shit because this is what kids wear.
Yeah, whatever's in style, and that was in style. I worked as a teenager. I worked in a fucking teenager store. What people were selling.
When we were in high school, girls weren't allowed to show shoulder.
Yeah, I remember that.
And shit like that. All these shows, none of these shows are based in Detroit or based in, you know, a cold city. Usually it's California. Usually they have, you know, oh, class on the beach, shit like that, whatever. Yeah. Like, get over it. And again, if you are sexualizing these young girls on these TV shows, you probably shouldn't be watching the TV shows.
Like, yes.
You know, you're too old for it. Like, true. It's for kids. No kid you know, unless you're like just hitting puberty and you're like, oh man, or Ariana Grande's hot. No 9 year old is gonna be like.
Well, and here's the other thing.
Anything out of it.
The other thing is at that age, I remember being about. I was still a teenager with. I remember when, these shows, like my sister used to watch Drake and Josh. Mm-hmm. I didn't watch. I was too old for that.
Right.
I didn't care. I wanted to watch MTV. I wanted to watch Comedy Central. Like, I would rather watch MTV and see hot girls on that than on Nickelodeon.
Right.
You know, so no one I knew was watching it for that shit. My sister would watch it because she liked that stuff. She probably thought Drake was cute. She probably thought the Zach and Cody kids were cute or whatever. There was the Selena Gomez Wizard show. I remember that. Miley Cyrus. Mm-hmm. I remember seeing that. I thought those shows were dumb. I'd make fun of her. I was like, dude, these shows are so stupid.
Right.
They just yell a lot. And she'd get mad. She'd kick me out of the room. I was like, these shows are so... And so it's like we can't use this Puritan lens on this. Again, there was definitely some weird stuff. I'm not going to deny.
Yeah, there's some definitely weird stuff. But like Ariana Grande's character was supposed to be a fucking moron.
Yes.
Like she was supposed to be dumb as shit.
Right.
And like, so yeah, like the feet thing is kind of weird where she's trying to put her toe in her mouth.
Yeah,
but like she's dumb.
Yeah,
like,
true.
That's what her character is.
Yeah.
Like, again... there's some weird shit, and
I just think that there's some weirdness that would be like, yeah, that's probably shouldn't happen. And I think Dan Schneider, I believe deep down there's some weirdness. He did surround himself with a couple of pedophiles.
Right.
I mean, my gut tells me he's no angel.
I do think I do think the documentary made it clear though that neither of them were charged with any kind of pedophilia prior to working on
the
set.
Yeah, they would have passed a background check.
I don't think, I don't think he knew, or he may have, you know, who knows what he knows, but like the benefit of the doubt, like he didn't know if they had a background check on him or whatever.
Yeah.
You
know what, Dan Schneider, think of this. Think of if Cartman was in charge of making children's show. That's what he is. He's a fucking Cartman asshole.
Right.
Right? Not lovable Cartman, asshole Cartman. Yeah. That's who he is. And so I think he's a piece of shit. And I think that there's, you know, I definitely think that he tried to fit in and they just had to put up with him because he's the boss. And that was probably some weird times and awkwardness and probably miserable. And that, Jeanette McCurdy or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, she's got a whole book about it outlining, which I haven't read, but I've heard parts of it.
Isn't it called like Thank God My Mom's Dead or some shit?
Yeah, because her mom was a piece of shit. Like her mom abused her during that time. So like so that's like her book talks a lot about the misery of having to deal with her like abusive mom and Dan Schneider being like kind
like
of
on top of that. So it's like the, you know, the frosting on the cake type thing.
Right.
But again, like going back to the documentary real quick, I was fucking like when they mentioned the Me Too movement, I was like, dude, like why do you have to mention this too? Like,
which I do think though, because they did part ways during that, and he was known to be like asking for massages and being inappropriate. Like, I do think that Nickelodeon was like, yeah, enough's enough. This is a powder keg. This isn't worth it anymore.
Right.
Like, let's just let him go. And that's what I mean. Like, there are elements of him being kind of shitty. I just think that if he is truly sinister deep down inside, this documentary did an awful job trying to explain that. But then it makes it seem like if he is this awful person, please dig deeper.
Expose it.
There was something I watched, one of those YouTube documentaries, and I wish I could remember it. We did it on my stream about a year ago that goes in a lot more in depth only about Dan Schneider, talks a lot more about feet and everything like that. And I remember, you know, there are things to talk about. I wish I could remember. I'll have to find it, and maybe we can do... We can
part
two on some of this. Because I definitely want to talk about the Drake and Josh stuff too.
Yeah, because like Brian Peck, I think, got hired on Disney after.
Yeah, that's right. They said for Zach and Cody.
Yeah.
Which was a big show for them. Which did you... So here's something I didn't know. My sister used to watch Zack and Cody, so I've seen the show before.
Yeah, I've never even heard of the show before.
They're twins.
Mm-hmm.
They're identical twins, and it's called The Suite Life of Zack and Cody, and the whole gimmick is that they live in a hotel.
Okay.
Kind of like a Dunstan Checks In type of thing, without a monkey.
Without the star-studded cast.
Yeah, that too.
Like Jason Alexander, the Santa Claus kid.
But the kids...
Mr. Dubrow.
The twins are... stars in their own right.
Mrs. Dubrow.
Because they got their start playing Frankenstein in Big Daddy.
That kid was a twin?
Yeah.
There was two kids?
Usually when they have kids that young, yeah, they usually get twins. So then they can take breaks.
Right. I knew that that's why they got like the Olsen twins and shit like that. But I never knew that kid was a twin.
Yeah. So and then later they ended up doing Suite Life of Zack and Cody. And then they did like a fucking like boat show as well. So they ended up having a pretty lengthy career. I don't know what they do now, but yeah, I'm like, that is wild that Disney would fucking, now he, I don't think he stayed very long. I think he got booted out
right
shortly thereafter, but yeah, fuck that guy. You know what, by the way, this is what I want to find out. I don't know. Did you have anything else to say about the documentary?
No, not really. Just that I kind of was disappointed in like the way, again, I'm not trying to defend Dan Schneider, but like he shouldn't be compared to these other two fucks.
No, not and if he truly is a piece of shit, please, I want to know.
Right.
I truly think there's something up with him, but nobody has been able to really give me a solid case, and this documentary did a terrible job.
And that's why I wanted to mention the day and time, just in case, you know, down the road, if something does come out more about Dan Schneider, if he was, you know, molesting kids or doing this or that and the other, that, you know, it's before that came out.
Yeah. If any point in time after 10:38 p.m. on March 26, 2024 is when we're recording this. If news comes out after this date that Dan Schneider's a piece of shit, more of a piece of shit, because I think to an extent he is. But he's more than just an adult annoying Cartman running a studio.
Right, because we did have one episode that we couldn't air because it ended up being a little racist. But we didn't know it was going to be racist.
That's true.
And then it turned into being racist.
Yeah, like the next day. Yeah, we were like, oh shit.
We couldn't publish it.
Yeah, it was like, whoops. We didn't realize that was going to happen. Never mind.
So that's why
we
timestamp things now that might be controversial.
So if he comes out, we'll definitely readdress it and we'll say, hey, you know what?
We
fuck
were
him.
Wrong. Yeah.
Fuck him more. Because I'm already saying fuck him. Because
I agree.
Okay, so I just went and Googled, like, where is Brian Peck? Because I want to know, where is Brian Peck now? And, here's what was Brian Peck's sentence? 2004, no contest with 11 charges, including oral copulation with a minor under 16 performing a lewd act with a 14 or 15-year-old. He later sentenced 16 months for that.
So Drake Bell.
Yeah. 11 different
accounts
from him. That's probably not all of it.
And Drake Bell's only one of those accounts, I believe. I think it's 11. I think they explained it in the documentary. It was 11 different people.
More people came out.
I think so.
Oh, I thought it was just 11. Like
I don't know for sure. Fact check me, but. That's what it seemed like it, because it had like different account numbers and shit like that. And I don't know.
So we know that that's James Marsden. Okay. I recognize him now. I've seen him in movies. He was in like the Baywatch movie, I think. No, that's Zac Efron. He's like the knockoff Zac Efron though. He does have an Efron look, but then Wolf Friedel, Ryder Strong. So in the doc, it was revealed
Eric Matthews.
Yeah. And the doc was revealed that several notable stars, including James Marsden and Boy Meets World star Ryder Strong and Will Friedle, wrote letters of support for Peck during his sentencing. It's not clear how much about the charges were known by those who spoke out in support of Peck at the time. Marsden, Strong, and Friedle did not immediately respond to a request for comment from People. This is a People magazine article from like 6 days ago. However, Strong and Friedle previously addressed the letters and their appearances at the sentencing hearings on their podcast, Pod Meets World. Okay, that's interesting. During the podcast episode, Friedle said that Peck had ingratiated himself in his life and he had turned them against the victim by misrepresenting the charges. Okay, so they actually talked about this before the documentary. So I'll give them a little bit of leeway.
Pod meets world.
Yeah, they're still dead to me. He added that looking back now, he believes that he was sitting in the courtroom on the wrong side of everything. Okay. So this is what I was looking up, though. Where is Brian Peck now? Because I hope this man
is burning in hell.
If he's still alive, and if he's not, I don't know. What would be, you know what would be crazy is if somebody were to find him when he's playing GTA Online, mm-hmm. and finds his house. You know how you can buy a house, yeah. like a penthouse in GTA Online? And then what they do is they block the entrance of the apartment or house that he's got, probably in Vinewood.
Yeah.
And they block it with a bunch of vehicles. Like, I have like 30 vehicles in my garage.
Yeah.
I pull out all my vehicles and I block his entrance so he can't exit. And then I get like a bunch of Molotov cocktails and bazookas and a lot just
the
explosives.
Cheat code and yeah. like you get a bunch of, yeah.
Yeah. And I can just, I just burn him alive in his Grand Theft Auto house.
Yeah.
And he can't escape because too many of my Lamborghinis are blocking his way.
GTA 6, I think, is coming out within the year.
Well, if he's ever playing it and you see him on there,
yeah.
do that to him in GTA Online. Of course, not in real life. Don't murder him in real life with fire. But after serving his sentence, Peck was released from prison in 2005. Hey, that's the same year we graduated.
Yeah.
Happy graduation.
He graduated too.
Yep. A year later, he was hired by the Disney Channel to work on The Suite Life of Zack and Cody.
He said it was taken care of or something.
Yeah. The outlet reported that he was immediately terminated after Disney Channel learned of his conviction and his voiceovers were replaced. Oh, he did voiceovers on that show, I guess, too.
Oh, and he wanted to play the dad.
Oh, my God. I forgot about that. He wanted Drake to talk to Dan Schneider to get Dan to have him play the father. I'm like, how disconnected from reality are you, dude? I forgot about that. That one was just, this guy was unhinged at the end. He was just an unhinged pedophile piece of shit, something or other. Even after getting terminated from Disney Channel, Peck continued to appear in a variety of projects, including 2008's Bedtime Stories, 2015's Freaks of Nature. What is this? Hold on. What is Freaks of Nature? Okay, it's an R-rated film. At least he's around adults. Looks like...
Hopefully there's no kids on set.
No. Yeah, it looks like people like Bob Odenkirk. It's like some adult movie from 2015. Vampire.
I hope this motherfucker after this documentary... Wait. Like, I hope no one works with him again. Like, I hope if he tries to get on a project, like, these actors are like, fuck you, dude. Get the fuck out of here.
Well, that's a crazy thing. So even after all that, he was still getting jobs. What's 2008's Bedtime Stories? Is that an adult movie? Okay, that's an Adam Sandler movie. It is a PG Adam Sandler movie, though, so I still bet. 2012, Anger. Oh, so he was on the show Anger Management with Charlie Sheen. Remember, this is after Charlie Sheen went crazy?
Yeah.
So he ended up getting that deal at Anger Management. So he got on Anger Management. So I don't know what he did on that. And then his last role was in 2018 for a miniseries called Animal. So he was working all this time into 2018. Today, he reportedly resides in Los Angeles, California. Oh, my God. I bet when this documentary came out, his fucking life, I bet his phone blew up. I bet he was probably doxxed by all the pedophile hunters online. I would hope. Like, that's, I mean, God damn. Like, what, Brian Peck, I'm just gonna look up doxxed. Someone's got to say that he was doxxed. Oh, it's Google, though. They aren't going to tell me. Let me go to DuckDuckGo. Let me see. I just want to know if someone was fucking with him or not, because someone needs to. Fuck this guy. If you're going to go and harass somebody like that, don't do it to just some dude playing Call of Duty online. You use those resources properly for someone like this.
You get all those that anger management out on Mr. Peck here.
Oh, God. I mean, that is if you're already a criminal. Like, if you're just a regular Joe, don't get involved.
Right.
But if you're one of these online criminals out there that just are doing online crimes, you know, go after people like this. Stop stealing from old ladies. Go after those guys.
You Persian princes.
Besides, this guy's probably got way more money than some fucking old lady out in the Midwest. Oh. But anyway, that was a journey. I'm glad I powered through it all in one shot today.
Yes. I watched it last Tuesday all in one shot. Mm-hmm. I was up until like 2 in the morning watching it. And then the last time I watched it in 2 and 2. Because I watched it, I felt a certain way, and I needed almost justification on why I was feeling a certain way. Because, you know...
Yeah, again, you don't want to think you're out of touch or something.
Right, and it does sound like I'm a Dan Schneider...
You're his biggest defender or something. Yeah, and we're not. Not at all.
Because we're comparing apples and oranges. We're comparing some asshole that seemed like a tyrant.
Yeah.
You know, on a set of a TV show to someone who someone trusted as an acting coach and confided in them and then got raped.
Yeah. Yeah, those are two stories that should not be mushed together as if it's all the same.
And the line that really got me was when Drake was like, you know, it had just happened for the first time, and he's like, what am I going to do? Call my mom? She's an hour away. Like, what am I going to say? Like, hey, you know, I just got raped. Come pick me up. Like, he had nowhere to go. Uber wasn't a thing. I'm sure if he could have, he would have probably Ubered the fuck out of there. And then the fact that, you know, he had to continue to go because people are going to be like, oh, all of a sudden you don't want to see Brian? Like, what happened? What happened
over there? Now you got to explain it. And then he also mentions, like, he's connected with everybody. I mean, he worked with, like, Leonardo DiCaprio and all these other big names. And he knows all these producers and all these directors. And, man, it's fucking bullshit. So you know what we need? We need somebody to be able to, like, clean house, to find the Brian Pecks of the world and just bring justice. And I think the hero we really need right now is Sir Jared of the Swoveland. He needs to make his way out of his cave in his kingdom.
Well, you know, I don't know if you know this little known fact about Sir Jared of the Swove.
Okay.
I've known him a little longer than you have.
Okay.
When he's having that big breakfast.
Yeah.
He downs it with some Dubby.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He does. He loves it.
Because he doesn't like coffee and he doesn't like pop. So he gets his energy from Dubby. He uses the promo code 64BitLegends with all of his Dubby purchases.
Mm-hmm.
They're very active on social media. You can DM them. They can, you know, you can request flavors that they can try out. And it's good. You know, nice powdered drink to start you off in the morning. They got the hydration stuff, like the G Fuel of Gatorade. And they also have the energy stuff. So I got to get my next order in because I'm running out. But I drink it every day.
Yeah.
It's good shit.
And if you use code 64BitLegends, you get 10% off.
10% off.
And you know what? Every time you order from not only when you order from Dubby and use code 64BitLegends, you not only do you get 10% off, not only do you get a great quality product, but also, and I don't have any proof to this, but my gut tells me that every time you place an order,
a clown earns its smile.
A clown earns its smile, and Brian Pack steps on a fucking
Lego.
A Lego, but it cuts his foot and it actually infects him with syphilis of the foot.
Okay, so glass. A glass Lego,
and he catches syphilis in his feet every time you order that. Just think of that. I have no proof of that, but my gut tells me that's what Dubby would want.
Yeah.
Dubby would want us, as they're sponsoring us, they want to know that when you buy from them, you are punishing a pedophile, okay? That's the Dubby guarantee. The Dubby guarantee, I'm looking at the cameras if I'm streaming.
I know.
The Dubby guarantee is that When you order from them, you get a great quality product, 10% off with code 64-bit-legends, plural.
Plural. No, 64-bit legends, yes.
Yeah. And
a clown earns a smile.
Clown earns a smile, not Gacy.
No, not Gacy.
Good clowns.
Good clowns.
And also, pedophiles are punished.
Yes.
Because they do not like them. They bring justice, just like the mighty sword of Sir Jared of the Swove.
Yep. And if you or anyone you know is being... I just got disconnected. Can you still hear me?
I can still hear you. Your headphones got disconnected, that's all.
If you or anyone you know is getting sexually harassed or, you know, some kind of pedophile is going after them, please tell someone. Because those motherfuckers need to rot in jail.
They do.
And don't hesitate to tell anyone because that's a serious problem.
It is.
These fuckers are fucking disgusting.
They are.
And they're coming out left and right. And we need to stop this.
They are. Well, don't even get me started about Diddy. Maybe that's for next week.
Yeah. Yeah, that whole thing. Like, 50's trolling big time.
I think next week we got to talk about Diddy.
And Jay-Z, question mark?
I know. 50 Cent called him out. He's dressed like a gay painter.
Fuck it. Cat Williams, dude. He said 2024, dude. People are getting their shit. So until next time, I'm Bobby Caboose. This is Melvin Troy. We are 64-Bit Legends. Check us out. Subscribe. Listen. You know, do all that good shit. And that's a wrap.